Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The Senate Ethics Committee is commencing public hearings today on charges it has filed against one of the Senate's most powerful figures, Herman Talmadge of Georgia, chairman of the Agriculture Committee and second-ranking Democrat on the Finance Committee. Phil Jones reports.
Talmadge faces five charges. One, filing false Senate expense claims for reimbursement. Two, filing false campaign finance records. Three, conversion of campaign funds to personal use. Four, failing to pay taxes on stock gifts to his former wife. And five, failing to report gifts that he received. Talmadge calls the charges picayune. Today's witnesses will be present and former aides of the senator's office. The most damaging evidence is expected later from his former wife, who, according to one Talmadge source, vowed to destroy the Georgia senator after he divorced her in 1976, and a former top aide who claims that he helped divert campaign and Senate funds to a secret bank account for personal use by Talmadge. So far, Talmadge has not accepted a proposed committee settlement that would have him apologizing publicly for his actions and agreeing to censure. If the committee determines that Talmadge is guilty of the charges, punishment could be reprimand, censure, or even expulsion from the Senate. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In the history of the Senate, only seven members have been censured. The most recent action of that type was taken in 1967 against Democrat Thomas Dodd of Connecticut. Japanese Prime Minister Masayoshi Ohira arrives in Washington this afternoon for talks with President Carter later this week. George Herman has that story.
Officials here insist that the one issue on everyone's mind when it comes to relations with Japan is the one issue the president and the Japanese prime minister are not going to try to solve. And that is, of course, the question of Japanese trade barriers to goods made in America. Prime Minister Ohira's government has said flatly it will make no further concessions and will not allow American goods to compete freely with Japanese goods for sales to Japanese government agencies, such as the telephone company. Senate Majority Leader Robert Byrd has warned in reply that this could mean a trade barrier war, with American congressmen putting up barriers to imports of goods made in Japan, and they sell us $11 billion more than we sell to them. All of this is sure to come up in any meeting with the congressional leadership, but the White House talks are supposed to concentrate on energy policy, the Economic Summit Conference in Tokyo next June, and relations with Peking. That's the advance plan, anyhow. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
President Carter holds a news conference this afternoon. It will be broadcast over many of the CBS radio network stations at 4 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time.
There's an old saying that any craftsman knows is true. Any job is easier if you have the right tools to do it with. And here in Palm Springs, there's just one place to go for the right tools, and that's Builder Supply. For more than half a century, desert folks have depended on Builder Supply to have a complete assortment of the right tools. And what's more, Builders also has a complete supply of expert advice that does not cost you anything at all. They'll help you with plumbing problems, lumber estimating, anything at all in building, maintaining, or repairing. So take advantage of Builder Supply and the folks in the blue shirts. It's there for you 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. with everything you could need for any job you have. Make your work easier, faster, and more fun with the right tools for your job from Builder Supply. It's a true value hardware store serving the desert for more than half a century. Builder Supply of Palm Springs at 490 East Sunny Dunes Road to serve you better.
Seven Soviet Jews are getting a joyous welcome in Israel, released after years in Soviet prisons. Dan Raviv has details.
Getting Jews out of the Soviet Union and into Israel is a major concern for the Israeli public, and it's one of the few issues on which nearly everyone agrees. So the arrival here of seven Jewish activists, recently released from Soviet prisons, has seemed to lift the mood of nearly all of Israel. This morning, two of the dissidents who were flown to New York in exchange for two convicted Soviet spies arrived at Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion Airport. Prime Minister Begin was among the dignitaries there to greet them, just as he'd been at the airport yesterday to welcome five Jewish activists who were released from Soviet prisons 10 days ago. Begin thanked President Carter and told of a phone conversation he had on Saturday with Mr. Carter.
He repeated his promise to continue with the effort until all the other prisoners of conscience are released and be allowed to come back to Eretz Israel the land of our forefathers, the land of our children, for all generations to come.
All seven of these men began their journey here nearly 10 years ago when they were caught trying to hijack a Soviet airliner. One of the two who arrived today, Mark Dimshitz, said it was worth spending 9 years in jail in order finally to become a citizen of Israel. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Tel Aviv.
A trip of unusual significance is being taken today through the Suez Canal. Doug Sefton in Cairo tells us about it.
The first Israeli ship to be granted access through the Suez Canal is well on its way. The Israeli freighter Ashdod, a 4,600-ton vessel and the smallest in the Israeli merchant fleet, began its historic voyage through the canal at Suez early this morning and is scheduled to emerge at Port Said on the Mediterranean tonight. The canal was blocked by sunken vessels during the 1967 war, and extensive clearing operations restored it to use in 1975. But although Israeli cargoes could travel the canal, until this morning they could not travel on Israeli ships. Dockside workers and seamen cheered the vessel on its way, but the voyage attracted little public attention here since the Egyptian press largely ignored the voyage. Egypt's reticence in publicizing the Israeli ship's journey is interpreted as another sign of Egypt's attempt to minimize demonstrations of friendly relations with Israel, moves which are bitterly opposed by the rest of the Arab world. Doug Sefton, CBS News, Cairo.
Iran broke diplomatic relations with Egypt this morning by order of Ayatollah Khomeini. No reason was given. Iran's prosecutor general has acted to curb the power of the revolutionary committees loyal to Khomeini. He says they must not interfere with trials conducted in government courts. Judges of those courts have legal immunity, says the prosecutor general, and all complaints against them must be sent to him. The National Iranian Oil Company says production of that country's crude oil will average 3.5 million to 4 million barrels a day for the rest of the year. Something over 1 million barrels daily will be sold to Exxon, Texaco, Gulf, Caltex, and Shell. The company's marketing director says all of the buyers, countries as well as companies, have agreed not to sell any of the oil to South Africa or Israel. Before the revolution, Iran produced an average of 6 million barrels of crude a day and exported most of it. Many service stations around the United States were closed over the weekend because of end-of-the-month shortages. Shortages of this type are likely to become more serious in May. One of the worst occurred yesterday in Las Vegas. Motorists lined up for hours to buy gasoline at 84 cents to $1 a gallon, and some vacationers had to extend their stay. The situation was blamed on panic buying by local residents who realized last week that many stations might use up their monthly allocations by the weekend, with no more gasoline coming along until later this week.
Do you have trouble connecting the Framashamas to the Hattestat? Does your gigalasm always leak? In other words, is your residence a mysterious, unfathomable challenge? Well, take heart, neighbor. There is help for you down at Builder's Supply. A staff of experts on plumbing, electrical wiring, carpentry, and almost any other repair or maintenance chore is always ready to help you at Builder's Supply. And what's more, the advice is free. So the next time the thingamabob comes off the kitchy-kitchit, don't panic. Just go down to Builder's Supply and say, "Listen here now, fella, I want to see the kitchy-kitchit expert," or whatever the case may be. At Builder's Supply, the people in the blue vests will offer you all the expert advice you need to solve the problem and, best of all, get the job done right. Builder's Supply, they're at 490 East Sunny Dunes Road. They've been serving the desert for more than 50 years. Builder Supply is a True Value hardware store, and that's more than just a name. It's their way of doing business at Builder Supply.
The real issue in all this won't be money or working conditions, but how much more the president's guidelines will be bent. Bob Fall, CBS News, Akron, Ohio.
Steel haulers voted yesterday in Canton, Ohio, and Pittsburgh to end their three-week strike on the basis of a contract worked out between the Teamsters Union and three of the four major steel hauling companies. Votes are being taken today in Cleveland and Youngstown. The fourth company is reported ready to sign the tentative agreement. A breakaway Teamster group that supported the strike is now urging that it be ended. The House of Representatives begins work today on its budget resolution for fiscal year 1980. Last week, the Budget Committee recommended federal expenditures totaling $632.7 billion, with a deficit of about $25 billion. Approval of the resolution appears doubtful. Most Republicans are said to be planning to vote against it, And there are reports that many liberal Democrats may do likewise unless they get extra money for social programs. Speaker Thomas O'Neill predicts that amendments will be coming out of the woodwork, but he thinks most of them will be defeated. The House Military Personnel Subcommittee is expected to vote today on a proposal for revival of a military draft on a limited basis. If approved, up to 100,000 men a year could be called to serve in reserve military units. A vote will also be taken on a plan that would merely reinstate registration for the military draft. Not much support has developed for either proposal, and opponents of the draft are planning to stage a rally today on the steps of the Capitol. The Red River of the North is still flooding today in North Dakota and Minnesota. Nearly 1 million acres have been submerged in the past 2 weeks, and the Army Corps of Engineers estimates damage at around $59 million. And Paul Taylor reports from Winnipeg that conditions are getting worse across the Canadian border.
9 days ago, the Red River spilled over its banks in Manitoba. In that time, more than 7,000 people have been evacuated from its valley. Nearly 10 million sandbags have been filled and placed on some dike somewhere. Tens of thousands of livestock have been moved to higher ground. Dikes around a half dozen towns and villages have been built up to a level 2 feet higher than the experts think the river will rise. What they aren't certain about is whether or not these barriers of sand, burlap, and earth can withstand the enormous pressure of record-high flood waters. The Red River surpassed the level of the Great Flood of 1950 on the weekend, but Manitoba Premier Sterling Lyon is expressing confidence and optimism. He says all aspects of the flood control effort are well in hand, particularly in the diked towns and villages. The Red River will crest at the Canada-U.S. border sometime on Wednesday. Until then, dike building and maintenance continue around the clock. Paul Taylor for CBS News in Winnipeg.
The Commerce Department released preliminary figures this morning in its economic index for the first quarter of the year. The index declined 0.6% in that period, the worst drop since the 4.3% loss in the first quarter of 1975, and it suggests more trouble ahead. The money markets in Tokyo and Amsterdam were closed today for holidays, but the other major European markets are open, and the dollar is firmer in all of them. The price of gold slipped a bit in both London and Zurich. Terrorist violence recurred during the night in Italy. At least 20 bombs exploded in Venice and other towns nearby, but police say nobody was injured. Ecuador's presidential election has been won by Jaime Roldos, a 38-year-old center-left populist. He scored a landslide victory over his conservative opponent. Roldos promises to lead Ecuador back toward democracy after 9 years of rule by the military.
A handy man needs a handy store. And if you're the sort of person who likes to work around the house, maybe fixing things up or making new things or working in the garden, whatever, you'll appreciate a store that's ready to serve you 7 days a week. A store that stocks everything you need for any job you could be involved in. That store, of course, is Builder Supply. For more than half a century, Builder Supply at 490 East Sunny Dunes Road has been the handiest place in town for folks who are handy around the house. Of course, Builder Supply also serves the desert's largest contractors and construction people. The point we're trying to make is that Builder Supply really is the handy store to have around. They're centrally located, they've got plenty of parking, and they're always glad to see you. Builder Supply, it's the handy person place. Just drop in and ask the folks in the blue vest for help that you need at Builder Supply of Palm Springs.
For some people, this is a sad day in Indianapolis. The little old White Castle on the north side of downtown Indianapolis is closing down, worn out after more than a half a century of business. It's the oldest original outlet of the nation's oldest hamburger chain. It sold its first hamburger for a nickel on August 6, 1927. Since then, it has sold an estimated 33 million burgers and 16 million cups of coffee. The supervisor says everybody is quite emotional about the closing of the White Castle. Dallas Townsend, CBS News.